Okay, Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast, number one.
Here we go.
Ever in the world, happening right now.
History.
History in the making. I am Robert Digital. I'm here with Ender's Logic, and we're going to be talking about PC gaming today. All right. So basically, let's just explain, first of all, what this is, who we are, like what we're all about. You want to explain
sure.
to them?
My thoughts on starting this was that I don't get to speak about PC gaming in my regular life enough, as in zero. When we're gaming, me and Bobby, Robert Digital, or any of my other friends, usually when we're gaming together, we're talking about the game itself because we're coordinating or whatever. You know, it's hard playing video games against other people and stuff. So you don't really get your PC gaming there. So maybe afterwards, we'll get some talk done about like what's going on in PC gaming, but in general, you know, you just don't get enough of it. So the PC Gamer podcast by the magazine is MIA. I really I missed that conversation, even though I wasn't literally part of it. You know, you feel like you're part of it. So in no way do we think we're experts or anything, but well, Bobby kind of is.
Definitely not. We are definitely not experts, but we are two grown men who like to play a lot of computer games. And, you know, I think we usually have fairly intelligent conversation about games.
I think we were having a conversation one time and somebody said, you know, I think we're wasting this. We should record this and somebody could listen. So
yeah, and there was
here we
a
go.
Light bulb.
Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, we really don't get to talk about PC games in our normal life, like at work or wherever. It's people don't really want to hear about that if they aren't PC gamers. So I think that's how we met, though. Like we knew each other for
right.
other reasons, and then we both found out we were both
secret
PC.
Reasons.
Secret reasons.
No, we're not gay, by the way. How dare you?
How dare you? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we we knew each other, and then we kind of figured out that we both played PC games, and
right.
It's really weird because I don't think I've ever really had that experience before.
And you know, honestly, I think I kind of turned you off at first because I was like, finally somebody to talk to, and I was like, blah, 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 all these things about PC gaming. You're like, dude, bro, slow down.
Now, see, I figured, I thought it was the exact opposite. I was like, yeah, we went out to the club later that night, and I was still talking about World of Warcraft, and I remember you saying, like, dude, we got to stop talking about this and getting chicks.
I don't even remember this, man. Where were we?
Sting. We were going
wow.
to Stingery that night.
We went to Sting, me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
We went to Sting like two times, three times maybe. I don't know.
I think I don't remember because of secret reasons. inside God. Jokes, folks.
Inside jokes, man. Yeah. We're already distancing our audience.
It's true.
Yeah. But so, yeah, we figured we have intelligent conversation, or at least, at the very least, conversation about video or computer games. And we figured, why not record it, you know, in the void of the PC Gamer podcast?
We're just a conversation about computer gaming that you can join. That's all it is, pretty much.
That's what we're here to do.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to start off with some news. And these aren't really current events. You shouldn't be getting your news from us. I'm going to state that right off the bat. We're going to talk about Valve and Steam and just kind of them as a company, what they've been doing lately. They've always got new stuff going on. It doesn't seem like they're just always doing something.
And they're always doing the right thing is
yeah.
the thing.
They make a lot of good choices.
I'm a fanboy, I guess. I mean, if probably one of my favorite companies, period, I would say. They're always ahead of the game. They make things they're gamers too, and you can tell. Like the Steam Box they got coming out. Now, that one, see, right up, I always do this where I sing the praises of something and then cut them down. But Steam Box, I don't see anybody having a computer in their living room that has a computer for PC gaming in their office or in their room. I don't know who the market is for the Steam Box.
Yeah.
That's a cornered market. You know, there, a mom at Walmart isn't going to be looking for, oh, should I get the PS4? Should I get the Xbox One? Or should I get, oh, what's this thing? You know, they don't even have a name brand. You know, they have Steam Boxes, but a bunch of different companies are making them, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a weird void that that it's trying to fill. It's trying to bridge the gap between the console gamers and the PC gamers. And people really choose their side of the camp. You're either a PC gamer or a console gamer. You can do both, but usually you are more dedicated to one than the other.
Yeah, like we said, there are no 50-50s that I've ever met in my whole life. Usually it's a 90% PC gamer, and he's got one game that he plays on a console or vice versa. I don't really know anyone. Do you?
No, not really. I mean, most people I know, console gamers, except for, you know, everyone that I game with on the PC. I mean, if in real life, most people I know are console gamers, and I try to get them on the PC games. They try it out for a little bit. It doesn't stick. They go back to console. A lot of
it's cute when you act like you have friends, dude.
I got a few. But the Steam Box, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. It's still in development. There's been a lot of new things coming out about it.
Do you think they're going to make money? What do you think?
Well, here's what they're doing. Valve isn't making these. They're just putting out SteamOS, and they're putting out some of the technology, but other companies are going to make the physical devices. So they're the ones that stand to lose or gain from it. So it's a smart move by Valve. I think it's a very, they aren't going to get in trouble. They aren't going to get, like financially hit
if this fails. Not a big investment on their part. Well, the SteamOS probably a lot, but, I can see myself switching to SteamOS for my regular rig if it's, you know, more towards gaming, which is what I do with my computer anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if it supports the games. Right now, Windows is just the best platform to game on, and that's why PC gamers have Windows predominantly.
Yep.
Mac is starting to get in there. You know, I remember when you could first get Steam on the Mac. I mean, that was pretty cool, but you can't get all the games on there.
Yep.
But this new local streaming, like, I'm excited about that because that is, that may be a reason why you get a Steam Box. Basically, it's like NVIDIA's Shield. You can stream, you have your big rig that you play all your games on. It's got the big graphics card in it, and that's where your Steam library is. All the games are right there. Any other computer on your local network can play those games.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. And that
over Wi-Fi as well.
See, that's what I'm. I don't know. I don't know if it can handle that kind of bandwidth over
Wi-Fi.
It depends,
right?
The NVIDIA Shield can. I mean, that's a 5-inch screen, but I don't see why this one wouldn't be able to.
Mm-hmm. And as more technology comes out, thicker bands will come out that can handle more.
Yeah, it'll always catch up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can see that working in your place, not so much in mine, because you see the setup I got here. I got an HDMI cable all the way across the house hooked up to my big screen. So I can use that. But and plus, I got a small place here. But you live
right. I have a living room and a room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the West Wing where I keep all my harem.
The foyer.
Yeah. Yeah, I could totally see myself playing because, you know, now you have I can't stop playing these roguelites, man.
Yeah, well, controller now.
Yeah, so. And I got the controller, and I'm playing Spelunky, I'm playing Rogue Legacy, and it'd be more comfortable probably in the living room on a couch.
Oh, yeah.
And so the local streaming, sweet. Steam Box, don't need it, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could get a really cheap computer or maybe like a base model of a Steam Box. And you could set that up in your living room. It doesn't have to have any sort of graphics power or the ability to play these high-end games. All it needs to do is be able to hook up with your controller and be able to display the stream that's coming in from your other computer.
You know, I'm glad that we brought this up because I've been thinking a lot about this. And we're talking down the line, maybe 20 years or so. But why does anybody need hardware in their house anymore? What's going on with server-side computing? Why am I going to spend $1,000 on a rig if Google has the best graphics drivers imaginable over there, and the internet's fast enough that I can play whatever?
So wait, you're talking about Netflix for games. Now, isn't there a company that does this on live?
Yeah, there's a Gamefly as well, right?
Yeah, Gamefly. That's kind of the retro games, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. What is it? Gamefly, you rent the game, you have the hard, you have the digital thing, you download it and you play it. But what I'm saying is, okay, imagine the local streaming that you just did, but except you don't have a computer at your house. It's at Google or it's at Steam or at Valve, and they're doing all the computer, the hard work over there. Yeah. So you won't even need computers at your house anymore. What do you think? Do you think that's the future?
I think it's definitely going to be an option. Is it an option that I'm going to be interested in?
Probably not, because you're a tinkerer, right?
Yeah, but you know what? If it's a better experience, if it's less work, because think about
it. Never have to upgrade. Always have the top of the line. You're paying $30 a month
or $100 a month. You know, your graphics card going bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah, I mean...
But if your internet goes down, you're fucked.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. I think we're soon approaching an age where your internet will never go out, you know.
I still archive porn, just in case.
Just in case.
You never want to be locked out with no porn, man.
Just in case, man. The nuclear apocalypse happens.
No, I'm just saying, you know, Wednesday brownouts or something where your internet's out for no reason. I got backup. You can't come over.
Do you keep a magazine stashed anywhere, just in case? God, do people even do that anymore? Does Playboy and Penthouse still exist?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are afraid of searching certain things because they're afraid of, you know, NSA and all this stuff. Some people don't even do their banking online.
Yeah, but I mean, porn is different than banking.
I know. I was talking to a girl today, and she does not ever search porn on her computer. She has like hard DVDs that she uses.
That's old school.
Yeah, because she's afraid of like her search history. She says, when the guy fixes my computer, I don't want him to see what.
Well, you don't want to do that, because I did work in computer repair, and some people were blatantly obvious. I've found in my research or in my experience that guys always have they always have porn on their computer, always. Right. Girls usually have naked selfies. That's more of the girl thing. Yeah.
AKA like a treasure chest you just found in somebody's computer, right?
You know, the thing is, they don't hide them at all.
Yeah.
Well, that too. But they don't hide them at all. It'll be on the desktop.
Wow.
Know, in a folder called like...
I got to get into this computer repair, man.
I know.
You should. Somewhere in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. You know, like we were saying, Valve is always coming out with new stuff, like always. And a good example of this was like the Greenlight thing. Was that a year ago?
Yeah, we were just talking about this a little while ago. It hasn't affected my Steam experience because I don't think I own one Greenlight game. I have clicked on it and clicked around on the games, but I don't. I guess I want to wait till it comes out. I always wait till games come out before I make my decision. I like to see reviews and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Greenlight isn't. It isn't the early access.
Okay.
Greenlight is...
Doesn't it say Greenlight early access? Isn't that...
A lot of times they're the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Greenlight means that it's kind of like an indie game. It's a game that would not be on Steam, but...
It got voted in.
It got voted in.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're a developer, you're making a game, you can submit it to Valve. I think for like $100, you can submit it to Valve. They'll put it up there and people can check it out and vote on it. And if... it gets enough votes, then it's on Steam and you can buy it.
But still, you don't know whether the game is good or not. It just has a good
A lot of these
presentation,
games,
right?
Yeah, that's true. You don't know exactly what you're getting.
Right.
But I think a lot of these games were already out and available for purchase through other ways. Some of them are, some of them aren't. But have you never gotten a Greenlight
game? It seems a strange move to me. It seems like, okay, so this game's doing well and they want to make more money, so... they want to go out and see them. That makes total sense. What I don't understand is people that already own it are voting for it to go on, or is it people that haven't played it yet?
I think it's both. Anyone can vote on these games.
Huh.
Yeah. But I've gotten a bunch of greenlit games. A lot of them, there's been a lot of them that were old games that were either rebooted or somehow remade to work on newer machines like Postal 2, or I think Leisure Suit Larry was a greenlit game. I got that. I've got a bunch of them. Guns of Icarus, I think, is a greenlit game.
And do you regret any of your purchases?
A lot of them are... They aren't up to par with other games. They're a little shoddy. Yeah. So
I'm glad I haven't bought any.
Yeah, but some of them I do enjoy, and usually they're a little cheaper. And you're supporting... You're like...
Indie developers, which I do like.
I think you're more directly supporting them. But, yeah, I mean, it's a nice thing to have. You're getting... It's basically increases... it's increasing Steam's market, and it's giving new developers a chance.
Yep.
So I think overall it's good.
I'm excited about the review system. As you can tell, I put a lot of importance on reviews. I always check the Metascore before I do anything. Yeah. I think Metascores are a really intelligent way of doing it. Obviously, it's not all the time you're going to agree with them, but I know I'm going to hate a 25% no matter what. Even if it's about my favorite subject matter ever, I'm going to hate a 25%. I didn't buy Colonial Marines. I'm so glad I got through that word. I have such a hard time with Colonial. Anyway, I didn't buy it because it was, you know, a 32 or something like that.
Yeah, and you were kind of excited about that game.
Yeah. I love Aliens. I love Predator. Didn't pick it up. And you just read all these scathing reviews. Saved me, $50?
Yeah, you originally never pre-purchased, man.
Nope.
And what did I tell you? That game was going to go on sale in 2 months. You could be able to pick it up for $10 or $5.
It was like $5 last time.
Yeah, I bought it for $5. Yeah.
Did you play it?
Not yet.
Okay. No. And then, so this is even better than Metascore because it's within Steam players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly or completely. And those are my peers, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to put more... more credit to them, I guess.
Yeah, no, I totally agree because I go off Metascores a lot too. And if it's low, I'll kind of second guess my purchase. If I know what I'm getting into and it still has a low score, sure, I'll grab it. But
I mean, how else am I going to know what movies to torrent? Metascore, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Metascore is great for everything. And I like that they integrate that into Steam. But like you said, you're hearing from your peers. People are explaining to you in their own words. And they kind of cut through the bullshit here. Like, a lot of times a game is being, it's being marketed. And when you read about it, you see the screenshots and you watch the trailers, you aren't getting an accurate depiction of that game. Even on the Metascore, sometimes it can be hard to really distinguish what's credible and what isn't. But I found these new Steam reviews to just get straight to the point. It's like in a paragraph, people will be like, this is what's good, this is what's bad.
Are they out already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's a game recently on sale called Dark. Came out.
Oh yeah.
Came out a couple months ago. Had my eye on it. Looked good. For some reason, I felt like there was some hype behind this game, so I kept my eye on it. It was on sale for around $13, and I checked out the reviews, and it got like 3 or 4 bad reviews and 1 good one. It shows the person that's.
Can you
writing.
Bring it up so we can look?
Yeah, let's check it out. Here's what I like about it, though. It shows the person that did the review, and it also.
Let you vote on if you thought this was helpful or not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the cream of the crop rises to the top.
Yeah, exactly. So you get the better reviews up top. But it also shows you how many hours this person put into the game.
Oh, wow. Even more credit.
So I was looking at these, and I noticed, like, on the reviews, like, each of these people had put in 10 or 11 hours.
Right.
So they had played through the game.
Like, so if somebody put in 100 hours into something and says it's terrible... I'm going to call bullshit because why'd you put 100 hours into
why'd you
it, right?
put 100 hours?
Yeah.
That's the Battlefield 4 syndrome. Everyone complains about the net code, but they'll hang on there and keep playing for like 3 or 4 hours.
I'm going to go say how much I hate TF2 with my 1,000 hours played.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here.
It didn't have to be Dark. It could have been anything.
All right. Yeah. I think this thing has really picked up picked up steam, no pun intended.
Boo. Boo.
But I'm seeing reviews on a lot of games. Let's just see what's new out here.
Right. Great radio right here. Complete silence. That's what we're aiming for here.
Dead air.
If you guys had any comments or questions, we have a website, which is, email, which is digitallogicgaming@gmail.com. It's with a K. The logic is with a K. Digitallogicgaming@gmail.
Yeah, we should probably point out that there's two L's there. There's the word digital, no space, logic, with the K, gaming@gmail.com.
Not complicated at all.
Not at all.
Okay, so we're looking at some of the reviews. What do the thumbs up signify?
So thumbs up is a good review.
Okay.
So this guy likes it. He's played half an hour of this game. Best game of my childhood is what he said. What are we looking at? Oh, Final Fantasy VIII. So basically they took this old, like, what was it, a PlayStation game?
Yeah.
And finally, it was always out for the PC, but it's finally on Steam. It's supposed to be fairly compatible.
Final Fantasy VIII, huh? Right. I don't remember it being that good.
Oh,
although,
eight? Or yeah, is it this seven? Is eight. No, there's... Yeah,
seven was the huge one.
Yeah, that was the huge one. But, yeah, so you can see, like, how many hours. See, there's a not recommended there.
But he only played half an hour.
Yeah.
See, so I wouldn't really put a lot of credit into that.
Yeah, or maybe it was so bad he just couldn't continue.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he was expecting a new game. He didn't know that it was old.
But you know what this reminds me of is Newegg.com, which is where I used to get almost all my hardware before Amazon. And I still go to Newegg for the reviews.
Right.
And I tell people all the time, you know, if you're buying hardware for a new computer that you're building, go to Newegg. Check the reviews.
Just, again, because those are your peers, right?
Yeah.
Your computer building peers.
Yeah. And people are a lot more to the point. It's
right.
Not like they're writing an entire article.
Right.
They just get straight down to it. What's good? What's bad? What you should know. They'll give you facts like, look, this game, you've got about 5 or 6 hours of gameplay here, like max. The single player playthrough is like 6 hours long. So that's important information.
And then the thumbs up, thumbs out for this just makes it that much simpler.
Yeah.
Although, I kind of like the number system. Does it overall give you a number system or some kind of value?
No, I wonder if they'll incorporate that later. Like,
so you just have to scroll and look at how many thumbs up and thumbs downs are?
Yeah. So
wow,
what I would like to see is they incorporate some sort of numerical system into this.
Right.
And you can search by top-rated games.
Right, right, yeah.
Like, I think that would be great.
It seems like they're shying away from that for now.
Yeah, well, this is still pretty new at this
right.
point.
Okay, so random topics?
Yep, let's do it. We're going to segue on into our next section here, which is random topics, where we just kind of pick a topic and talk about it.
Today we're going with a free-to-play model, as free-to-play as a model and what its effects are in gaming and all that. I am a huge fan of free-to-play. I think it's great. It puts a lot more games that you could just try. You know, you want to try something new. You don't want to spend any money. You could just download something, try it out, see if you like it. If you really like it, spend some money on it. Support the developers. It's up to you. It's like tasting the pizza before you buy it. I really like it.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's a response to all the piracy that games have dealt with in the past.
Definitely, a workaround for it.
Yeah, and I think it's a really fair and brilliant way to handle that, because they've tried stupid things like DRM,
right.
And we know that has failed, and we know people hate it. But this is, like you're saying, it lets people try before they buy. You know, I've pirated games that I have then turned around and bought,
right.
And because I wasn't sure if I wanted to spend all that money on this
right.
game.
I've done the same.
Yeah, and this whole free-to-play thing is really, I mean, if we think about it, as long as PC gaming's been around, this whole free-to-play thing is, I think, kind of new.
As long as they do it ethically. You see a lot of places that are, okay, you got two big problems that everybody knows about. It's the pay-to-win, where mm-hmm. you can just pay money to get the best power-ups and stomp all the people that are playing for free. No fun. makes new players shy away, kills the community, game's done. Hopefully. Then you have the other thing where you're playing off of compulsions that people have. That's the Candy Crush thing, where you know, people want to be good at something. The only way you make them be able to be good at it is if you charge them money. And you know, people, perfectionists or completionists, will pay that money just to get that. Okay, I got this game done. You know.
Yeah, and there's a lot of completionists out there, myself included.
Yep.
And I think a characteristic of PC gamers is being a completionist. So I think it's easy to play off of that.
Tell that to my room, dude. It's fucking dirty as shit.
Well, I didn't say like ADD or OCD or something.
Right.
Completion is totally different.
Okay.
It's like collect the whole set, this whole Pokemon craze thing, you know?
But half of my room is clean. The other half isn't, is what I'm saying. I didn't complete it.
the whole free-to-play thing, I think, the biggest free-to-play game that I've, or the game that I've spent the most time in that's been free-to-play is definitely Smite.
Yep.
And I love that game, like, it's up there in my top games of all time.
Me too, top three, maybe top four.
Yeah, definitely up there in the top three. And I think that's a perfect example of how they do a game right. You get no advantage over...
Zero.
Yeah, zero advantage.
For spending money. It's all completely cosmetic. And you just walk around feeling like a cool guy. Or maybe like a not-so-cool guy because you spent money on a video game. Or a Santa hat, right?
Yeah. But I will say, some of those skins you can buy are pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? I mean, people put a lot of work into making this new skin for this. And you're like, wow, I appreciate your work. I appreciate this game that you let me play. Here's some more money. Like I told you before, I've spent like $70 on that game. Now, for a free-to-play game, you listen to that and you're like, whoa, that's not very free. But listen, I played this game hardcore for hundreds of hours, and it's still just $10 more than I would have paid for a AAA title, but I had way more fun with it. That's totally worth it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that game's still in beta, too. It's not even done yet.
Yeah, they released their release date, which is in March, I think.
March, okay.
Yeah.
Going live in March. Nice. And, you know, what's funny about that is the game I have spent the least amount of money. And by least, I mean none. I have not spent a single dime on that game, and that is the game most deserving of my money.
Right.
But I have spent lots and lots of time on that game.
Which is contributing in itself.
Yeah. You know, bettering the community really contributes.
I don't know if you're bettering any community. Come on.
Hey, come on, man. But it's crucial to have a good community.
No, for sure.
It's got to be there. A game that we used to play, Super Monday Night Combat, I mean, I really liked that game, but the community wasn't there.
And
it fell apart.
You're hearing a great recommendation from both of us. Don't go play it, because the community fell apart. You cannot find games. Well, how was the single player at the very end to find the single player game? Was it a long time?
It's still a long time. The last time I even fired up that game, I think I waited for about 10 minutes just to get into a game.
Rough.
And right away you have people leaving, and it's just not a fair game when the teams are lopsided. But you don't get that with Smite because it's such a growing community.
Right.
And, you know, you got people out there releasing YouTube videos, you know, just giving it all this publicity and just making it like this hot new thing.
I mean, you're playing this game, but you also feel like you're part of something, not to like make it sound bigger than it is, but it is something that's growing. People are catching on, and you're just sharing something good and you're part of it and it's growing.
Yeah, and it's all for free.
It's the opposite of what happened with Super Monday Night Combat, where you're part of something and it's dying and it has this shitty feeling of, you know, oh man, like...
Yeah, you knew it was going away, and it just got worse every day.
I got to get off this sinking ship.
It's really unfortunate.
Right.
It's funny, we even ran into people that played Super Monday Night Combat. We ran into them during Smite games, too. Like, they kind of showed
up. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Hey, welcome to this way better version of what we were playing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, when I think of a game that... didn't do. I mean, obviously the pay to win is a problem because you can buy something that gives you
an unfair advantage, right?
Yeah, an advantage over other players, and the only way you can get that is with money.
Unlike the TF2 items where you could get new weapons, but they were balanced in such a way where it wouldn't be a huge advantage.
Yeah, you can, just another play style.
Yeah, I have like, exactly. I have characters with 5 different weapons, and a lot of time I'll just go with the default weapon because I'm most comfortable with it, and there isn't a clear advantage unless I'm doing something different. I have a different strategy, then I'll switch it up.
Yeah, but I think I'd have to say, if I were to think of a bad example of free to play, I can't think of specific reasons, but I would throw in Planetside 2. I did not enjoy that game at all. Free to play. I don't think I enjoyed the gameplay on that, and all the unlocks just seemed very hard to get. It seemed like it would take forever to get.
That game seemed overly complicated to me.
There was a lot going on.
There was, I mean, just to upgrade, like, your rifle, I think you have to go through, like, 5 different screens to, you know, submenu, and then you can spend your points into that. Plus, as if the menus and all the things you can upgrade weren't enough, you have this gigantic war going on, which sounds super cool, but I found it difficult to find the front lines sometimes, and it was just too big for me. I don't know if that makes me dumb or maybe it was a fault of the game.
I don't know. I didn't enjoy that game, and I tried to. I put in a little bit of time in that game, and even though it was this full-scale war going on, you didn't get the feeling that you were part of it. Mm-hmm. Everything was still very repetitive and very small scale. You'd run into a base, you'd shoot someone, maybe kill them, then someone else would shoot you, and you'd die. And I can't really pinpoint or explain exactly why I really didn't like that game, but I don't think a lot of people... are playing that game. I think a lot of people share that opinion.
It's still in the news whenever they do something like when they have a new release or something like that. But besides that, yeah, I don't know anybody else playing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about it and I got to give it another shot. But I don't know.
So going on the free-to-play model, we've been playing a free-to-play game quite a bit, and it was Path of Exile. Our gaming spotlight for this week. I really like this game. Dungeon crawlers are something I have a love-hate relationship with. One will come along. I would say 3 come along and I hate them. Then one will come along and I just can't stop clicking those stupid monsters. And this game did some really new, weird things with the whole model about level progression and how items work. You know, most of them you're like, okay, you've got this chest plate, it gives you 15 decks. Nope, that's not how this one works. This one has a requirement for the chest plate, and it's decks. And you get your decks or intelligence or strength from the crazy skill tree that you level up while you're playing. And guys, if you haven't played Path of Exile, it's worth just looking up the skill tree. Just because I've never seen anything like it in a game. It looks like a mad genius came up with this. It's a work of art, really. And you get your stats through it and abilities through it. And that's the other thing that makes this game very addictive, is the constant progression. You're constantly kicking new things down this tree. I mean, it's a spider web of interlocking class abilities and stats, and it's really good.
It can be a little daunting when you first take a look at it, how big it is, but once you start actually using it, it's actually very simple. But I should probably point out that by dex, you mean dexterity. Some people may not know that. I don't think I knew that when you first said it. I thought you were talking about like card decks or something.
But
dexterity. But you know what I liked about this game? And I hate dungeon crawlers, for the record, and I'm very vocal about that. But
calm down, buddy. Calm down.
Oh, easy. But this game, I did enjoy. I played it. I played it to completion. Finished
what did we put it. Put in like 20 hours each?
30. I put in 30 hours on this game.
I put in about 20.
And I would play it again if other people were playing it. If I saw some people playing it, I'd party up and join. Mm-hmm. But what I liked about this game is I felt it was, first of all, the camera was closer to your character. So it had a little more of a personal feel to it, which I think is important for dungeon crawlers, that you, that you're closer to your character and to the enemies.
It is a very strange camera angle for storytelling, for sure. You don't feel immersed in it. But when it's closer, yes, it feels a little more...
Yeah, I think it helped it out. Because if you look at Diablo, I felt like that was further away.
Right.
And in Diablo, I just always... I couldn't even see the detail in these things. Mm-hmm. I was just clicking on it. It's like before I could even see an enemy and see the detail in the character model or anything and really even give a shit about it, like, yeah. I clicked on it and clicked on it until it was dead.
Right. And all the chaos going on. Yeah, this seemed like a more... guttural experience, I guess. It's more like you feel like you're in the fight. The sound effects were great. You know, when I first put it up, I was like, man, these graphics suck. But then within the first 15 minutes, you know, you get new zones, and I was like, wow, this game can be actually kind of pretty. And, so it surprised me there. Now going back to the free to play model, I don't know if this game was successful because they went with the whole cosmetic thing. As well, which is what you want to do, but in this game, you don't see other players as much as you do in Smite or TF2. So, in my experience, you only see them in town, and town is very small.
Yeah.
So, and they're charging a lot of money for little things. I think you said it was like $12 to have a little black cat following you around.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that's how much it was. And you never see other players unless you're in town and unless you're grouped up with them. That's the only time you ever run into them. So, yeah, it didn't seem quite right the way they...
You might see them in PvP, but we've never played PvP, so don't know about that.
Yeah.
But as far as an enjoyable free experience, highly recommended.
Yeah, it was. I had a lot of fun with this game. And for a dungeon crawler, that's saying a whole lot. Because even... what's the other one that we played?
Torchlight.
Torchlight.
I keep kind of trying to drag people into this.
Torchlight 1 and 2, I don't know. Still, I could not get hooked on that one. I think the whole leveling up system has a lot to do with it.
Their skill tree sucked. 100%. Yeah. That's the number one thing wrong with that problem. And, you know, you had to mod the game in order to respec, and you could only go back 3 levels. And the other thing was you would put so many points, because you could put 25 points into any skill or so. Mm-hmm. You put so many points at the beginning of the skill tree that by the time you put your first point into things below it, aka the stronger powers, it didn't matter because you already had so much invested in the ones before it. So the earlier abilities were what you used throughout the entire game, and the other ones you just discarded. Or at least that was my gaming experience with every character that I played.
Yeah. I feel like with Path of Exile, you could really go a lot of different routes. I'm trying so hard to avoid the word path and when I try to explain this game. But with your skill tree, you could go down all these different routes, and you could spec into all these different things, and you could really make a unique design for your character. Mm-hmm. And anytime you're given options in a situation like this, if you're like me, you're always just trying to figure out what's the best one.
Right.
You know? And like WoW had this problem where everyone would figure out what the best one was.
And copy it.
Yeah, and nobody would take the other one. So eventually World of Warcraft was basically like, all right, we're just going to cut out the other ones. So if you look at the talent tree for World of Warcraft now, it's simplistic compared to what it used to be.
I had no idea. Is it one page instead of three?
Well, remember, it used to be 3 pages,
right.
And then you could go all these different directions with it. But now it's complicated. It's like... You pick one of the 3 pages,
right.
And then you can, I don't even know if there is any diversity, if you can make decisions, or if you just basically unlock the same thing. Like the only divergence is like which page you go, like on a warrior, you either go.
You can't mix the two, is what you're saying now?
I don't know if you can mix it too. It's been a while since I played World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but I'll stay away from that. Thank you.
Yeah. Another game like Smite that I'm just, too many hours.
Yeah,
but
it's true.
But like I was saying, you know, going back to Path of Exile, you can be very unique with what you do. Like I had a character that was doing elemental damage, lightning specifically, and I'm like, okay, I see how this works. And then I had another character, a witch, who was doing like pure fire damage, and you had a witch who was doing frost
ice.
Damage.
Yep.
Yeah, doing ice damage. And the more you level up, the more you can diversify that. You can go into like I was going to fire and going into crit and going into cast speed.
So those are three things within fire. And then I was doing completely different things. I was doing AOE damage, and then I was doing AOE range, and then I was doing, I believe, spell power through intelligence. I was getting a lot of intelligence. Yeah. So, I mean, we played the same character, had two completely different experiences, and this is a game with, what, 8 classes and so many ways to spec.
Yeah, and I don't think there was a significant advantage for either one. Like, I think I did pretty good single target damage in certain areas. Like, maybe I would out DPS you there. But really, I don't think you could compare the two. I think they're both about the same.
It's apples and oranges. We got the job done, but different ways.
Yeah, they're just different ways of playing.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a hard thing to do. Because one thing about PC games is, like, once you find the best way to do something, that's all you do.
Yeah. And I really hope that this game made money, because I think they did a good job for a free-to-play game, especially out of the box they came out free-to-play. There was a lot of buzz about it, that's for sure, and really good reviews. So having a ton of players doesn't mean success when you're playing free-to-play. You got to have something in there for them.
Yeah. Well, that's a big question with these free-to-play games is how do they make money? Like, that's a question everyone always asks.
That's all the microtransactions, but I think if they weren't making money, there wouldn't be so many of them, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's got to be something to that model if they're continuing to make these. And it's very difficult to quantify how much money they're making from what I've read, but they must be making something or doing something right for there to be this many.
For sure. And of course, they're not all profitable. It's not a gold rush, but there's definitely something there, and I hope it's around for a really long time.
Yeah. Now, with a game like Elder Scrolls Online that's going to be coming out soon, you know, when these MMOs come out, that's always the big question. Like, are they going to be free to play, or how are they going to handle that? I don't know if we've gotten an answer for Elder Scrolls
I'm pretty sure there's an upfront payment and that a subscription model after that.
Yeah.
So they're going old school. But I think there's room for a game like that, but I think there's only room for one. I think WoW is dying. I don't think people will mind paying a subscription for a AAA title like that if they're not paying for two of them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. While it's dying, they might jump ship. This might be the one. I think, but people have been waiting for the next WoW for how many years now?
Oh God, it's never going to come.
Yeah, either. It seems like it. But I'm really excited about EQ2 because I'm an EverQuest nut.
Yeah. The voxel thing, everything EverQuest 2 has been talking about.
Man, it looks amazing.
Great.
I can't wait.
Yeah. But yeah, everyone's been trying to dethrone WoW and you just can't do it. I mean, WoW came out and it was like the first of its kind almost. Sure, there are other things like it, but for some reason, WoW was just so successful at what it did. It built up this huge base and it's slowly losing it, but it's still making tons of money. And why would they change their model? Why would they go free to play?
They've got, honestly, those guilds at this point, they've been together, they're families.
Yeah.
And they're not going to break up for anything. If you shut down those servers, there would be riots. They still have how many millions of players? Like 10?
I think it's down to 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
But still.
Seven million, that's a lot.
Down to 7. Think about that.
The old Republic wishes they had those numbers.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, that's an example of, you know, I would have jumped on board with the old Republic right away, but you had to pay 60 or 80 bucks, I think, for the game, and then you had to pay a $10 or $15 subscription fee, I think, for the game. And if it had been one or the other, I would have done it. Guild Wars 2, they just will take your money up front and you get the game forever. Mm-hmm. I bought that game. That seems like a fair deal. One time buying it.
By the way, one of those games that like I played for a while and I thought it was gorgeous. I thought they did a really good job with that game. Just stopped playing it. I don't know why. I think because I didn't have any friends playing that game when I was playing it. Everybody I know's played it, but we all played it at different times. So we might have to go back to that game.
I would be willing to check that one out. I feel like there was something there, and I did enjoy it, but same thing. I just kind of stopped playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. So that happens with games. I don't know. There's so many out there. There's so many options.
I definitely don't regret paying the $50 or whatever.
Oh, yeah, because you got it for life. You can always go back to it. But, you know, when it comes to these new games coming out, you know, Star Wars is a huge franchise. They're the only ones I would think could get away with charging people up front and then charging a subscription in addition to that. And it still didn't work for them. It still didn't.
And if Star Wars played the game, but was the game good?
I liked the game. It was very linear for an MMO, though.
At least the first, what I hear is like the every class has a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done with the storyline, you go into the real world or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's when it...
It's a BioWare game, so great dialogue, you know, very Mass Effect-like, kind of. But I thought it was a pretty good game, and I had fun with it, but it didn't have the level of complexity, especially at the end, that other games do in that category, like World of Warcraft. The PvP felt a little limited, even the dungeon runs, you know, everything just... kind of the further you got, the more you kind of got narrowed in and narrowed down to one specific thing that everybody else was. It's like if you were a tank, then you were like all the other tanks, kind of.
It's kind of weird that you have thousands of Jedi running around too. I remember in the first Star Wars Online, it was one of the hardest things in the game to become, if not impossible, to become a Jedi. I mean, you had to, there was all these different skill trees. There wasn't levels per se, but you could level up skills. And then when you mastered three skills, these were three pre-set up. When you rolled your character, there would be three random skills that if you mastered those three skills, you would find out that you're force sensitive. But there's like 20 skills and there's a combination of those three. So you just have people like learning, mastering two and then mastering all the other ones one by one because you could only master three at a time. And, you know, you could put in 300 hours and never become force sensitive. I think there was something special about that, but also ultimately killed that game, unfortunately.
Now, is this Star Wars Galaxies?
Sorry.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was... couldn't on that one, you could also just kind of like leave your character doing something, kind of like a macro. Level himself up.
You could level up dancing while you were at school if you wanted to or whatever. I did like that there was no classes and I did like that there was no levels. It was really interesting what they tried to do there. Mm. I had a sniper two-handed swordsman. So I would snipe things and then by the time they got to me, I could just kill him with one slice. So I was like, oh, I'm really smart. This works pretty good. So, and then I think a ranger, and then you could put, you had a little campsite and he would kick up his heels and stuff while he's chilling. It was really cool. Had some cool stuff.
I think that is a game that is officially dead now. Like they shut down.
Yeah, they shut down the servers. Yep.
Yeah. Like they put the nail in the coffin.
Right.
Which I don't know if we'll ever see that for a while.
And they haven't done that with EverQuest 1 yet. They're still making expansions for EverQuest 1. That's how strong that community is.
Yeah.
I'm really excited if I haven't said it enough for that next EverQuest. I'm one of those original junkies.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, question arises again. What are they going to do for the business model? Is it going to be free to play? Are you going to, probably not.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Landmark comes out. Okay. So Landmark is a game like,
where you build the stuff, right?
Yeah. Help me out. What's that? A Cube World? Not Cube World. The other one.
Minecraft?
Minecraft. Thank you.
You don't know what Minecraft is.
No, I just couldn't think of the name.
That is the most popular game with kids these days.
Probably. So, EverQuest Landmark is a free to play, game like that where you just build, things and, because they have you get the developer software basically that they're using to build the EverQuest world and you can make things just as detailed as theirs are. And, there's going to be some kind of contest where the, most, voted on, buildings or weapons, from EverQuest Landmark are going to be put into EverQuest next. And if characters want to pay for those with microtransactions, you actually get some kickback from that transaction. So you go on, they have a town that they're building, right? And that town obviously has a theme. You can't put a skyscraper in a hobbit village, let's say. So they give you here's the tools that you can use. Make something cool. You make something cool. You work on it for a while. You have people vote on it. You can even make some money off of the game that you love. I think that's a really cool business model.
Real world money off of it.
Right.
Dang.
And so, and then next year is when EverQuest Next comes out. And I don't understand how they're doing this, but in EverQuest Landmark, you can level up your character and transfer it to the other game. But I'm thinking that it's non-combat levels is the only thing I can think of. I think it's probably, you know, tradesman type stuff.
So it's almost like they're outsourcing the game designing work to...
Or at least part of it.
Or open sourcing it.
Yeah, really. Open sourcing it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll see how it works out for them. Either way, like, just everything I've seen about that game just seems so cool, the way that, like, destructible environments.
We're going to have to leave that for another podcast, because I think I could talk on that game for about half an hour.
Yeah, when it gets closer and we get more details, there's definitely a lot of conversation.
We'll do a spotlight on that one.
Yeah. All right. So why don't we slip on into what we're playing.
I am playing Rogue Legacy a lot.
Rogue Legacy. Now, have you beaten that game yet?
So I'm on the last guy, and I have put probably an hour into the last guy alone. I mean, I just walk into the castle, and I go right to the last guy. He's hard.
So you pay that guy so the castle doesn't change, and then...
Right. No, not even that anymore. You don't even have to do that. Huh. I just walk in with it, and because every time you kill a boss, that sticks forever. Mm-hmm. So I killed the four bosses. And that opens up the first door, that big door into the big boss. Okay. So, and that's just forever. So when I walk in, he's right there. Yeah. There's a little too much because I've done it 40 times. You know, you have to walk in, then you have to talk to him, and then he transforms, and then there's all that. I wish you could just keep trying.
Yeah.
Because I've died more than I'd like to admit to him. He's really hard. So I went and did this. I went and did back to, you know, Super Mario 64, where like I'm looking online to see how to beat something. I couldn't believe I was like I'm a grown ass man, dude, and I'm looking up how to beat up bosses in a little roguelite. So I look it up, and this guy beat the entire game in 18 minutes, dude.
18 minutes.
I'm on hour 22. I mean.
Is it like a speed run or something?
Yeah, it's a speed run. And he uses one or two glitches, but still, those weren't 22 hours to 18 minutes. Come on.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah. I got so disgusted I didn't even watch it.
Well, how many hours do you think he put into that to get that?
Oh, yeah, probably hundreds.
Because, when you see people doing these speed runs.
Years, Bobby. I'm going to tell myself years.
Years. Yeah. It's probably like his job that he doesn't get paid for.
Yeah.
But he should be on EverQuest making things.
Right.
Getting paid. But yeah, that game was good. And I've only beaten the second boss, and then I think I put 7 hours into that game.
Mm-hmm. You're on track with me then, I would say.
Have they, now even though you died at this last boss, can you still gain XP or gold that you can spend?
Oh, really? So, but I could go back into the castle and farm for tons of gold. I mean, I can clear the whole thing out and gain tons of gold, but I'm at a point where it's diminishing returns at this point. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not diminishing returns, but what I get out by so much farming, it's not a huge difference, really. So, and I'm getting really close. Like, I got him down to 20% last night. So that was my
almost big, there.
Almost there.
So you don't think, like, leveling up... That's one thing I liked about Rogue Legacy, is how you can level up all those different abilities, and you can go down different paths and... Mm-hmm. I think I was doing like a lot of hit points and just a lot of attack, a real basic kind of build. Yeah. Didn't go into like magic.
Now, what I didn't realize, I wish I would have known earlier, is because I kind of went with a broad spec because I knew that more classes were coming and I didn't want to alienate any of the new classes. Mm-hmm. Turns out all the new ones kind of suck. It's all about the Barbarian, the Paladin, and the Hokage. Hokage.
Yeah, is that the upgraded Shinobi?
Yeah,
like the ninja guy who does a ton of damage.
He does a ton of damage.
Takes damage.
Yeah, and so which is one of the later ones. But I mean, those are the three classes that I found most effective. But had I specced into like magic damage, the mage might be effective. But I don't know.
See, I didn't find the mage effective at all. So I haven't put hardly any points into it.
Right, and neither did I. But I did beat two of the bosses with a mage.
Yeah.
Just because that flame circle is really, really powerful.
And in case you haven't played Rogue Legacy, it's basically like a comedic Castlevania, like you said.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like Castlevania, plays a lot like Castlevania. It can be a little repetitive because you're going into the same castle every single time. They switch up like the layout, but it's basically the same thing. But they kind of counter that by being able to upgrade. You go into this castle, you kill a bunch of monsters and get gold, progress as far as you can, and once you're dead, then you go back and you spend whatever gold you made for some upgrades or armor, and you go back in and do the same thing until you can progress like further and further each time.
And the comedy portion of this game is that you are, every successive extra man, if you want to call it old school, is now a your heir, and you have traits that real humans have. You can have dyslexia, where, what a word to fuck up on, huh? dyslexia, where you can't read anything in the game. You can have IBS, where your guy can't stop farting. You can have colorblind, where the screen is completely black. You can be gay. All of these kind of things, and they affect the gameplay. Gay doesn't. But it could be really funny.
Yeah, they have that one that actually does come in handy where if you have no pulse in your feet.
Yeah, PAD.
You don't set off spike traps, which mm-hmm. can be helpful.
Yeah, there's another one that's purely, I think one makes you ambidextrous, so you turn faster or something like that. There's some ones that are really good. There's some that are really bad too, where...
I hate the one where you can't see the map.
Oh yeah, that one's Alzheimer's.
Yeah,
and then
can't look at the map.
What is the other one that's really good?
There's one that blurs out like nearsighted.
Oh yeah, nearsighted. So nearsighted, you have a little circle around you where everything's clear, and the rest of the screen is blurry. And then you have the opposite where you have a little circle around you that's blurry, and then the rest of the screen is clear. It's really cool. Really cute what they did, honestly, is what it is.
Yeah,
it's
very like, clever.
Yeah, very clever.
Very clever. And really good. You know, if that one's on sale for the winter sale, definitely pick it up. I think I paid like $7.50. You know, normally it's like $15. $7.50 is a steal for that game.
Oh, and also, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Was it about...
I was super important about it. Damn it. What was it? Oh, whatever.
That'll come to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rogue Legacy, I got to get back on that one. Definitely need a controller for that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Highly recommend having a controller for that game.
I agree.
There's some games out there that you really need a controller for.
Spelunky, man. I was twice as good with a controller than I was with a keyboard. I was getting hand cramps, honestly, because there was just so many control inputs you had to put at the same time. And I couldn't play for more than an hour. Now that I have a controller, I just kick my legs up and relax.
Yep, just kick back, man. Hey, wait till you get that local streaming with Steam and
play in the living room, right?
Yep, kick back on the couch. Got the ladies over watching you play.
Yep,
they love to do that.
Fanning me, giving me
grapes. All right, so Rogue Legacy. Have you been playing anything else, or has that been eating up all your time?
What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Panzer, a free-to-play game that is available on Steam right now. It basically is like a deathmatch. Well, not deathmatch. You have to control a point or control several points and progress your way through. You know, this one, then the next one. You
it's
have a few
like a Battlefield, right?
But it's like melee combat. I mean, right. You do have some range, but it's very... I would compare it to War of the Roses. The gameplay has that kind of feel to it.
It's fantasy, and it's different classes, mm-hmm. and definitely went for a campier, funny angle.
Yeah.
It's an enjoyable game for sure. We suggest things, and it's not like it's going to cost you any money. It's a free-to-play game. Definitely worth the download. Check it out.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. I'm having a lot of fun on that, and the servers were down for a little while, so I wasn't able to play it for a bit. When I came back...
As in days or hours?
Probably a day, maybe two.
Oh, that's not a good news.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I think they might have been doing upgrades or patches, who knows, but... Because there was something I had to download after all that, so I think it was a patch. Mm. But when I came back, as you level up, you get these crystals, which you can buy with money or you can get by leveling up. And it had used all my crystals for a premium pass, which, you know, gives you more XP and resources and whatever. It just used them without even telling me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that happened. I know. But I found that once you've done that, the leveling up goes way faster. You get way more resources. They got an interesting armor system. Like, you have to build your own armor, and it takes time. And
yeah, literal time. Like, yeah. You
like it'll take it. 10 hours.
Right. You'll have all the things you need to build it. You'll start the build, and there's a timer that starts. And, yeah, but 10 hours, nothing's near 10 hours, right?
Oh, yeah, the one I'm working on right now is 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. But what happens, you play the game, after the end of the match, you get XP and resources, and if you win, you get more. The resources are what you use to build these items, and when you start building them, you can log out, go to sleep, go to work, whatever, come back, and that time is still passed, even though you haven't been in the game. So it's kind of like a Farmville kind of crafting thing, sort of, which I kind of like. You know, like this morning, I logged into the game just to start on a new piece of armor.
I got to play that game more, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's got all the classes. You know, you got your healers and your melee damage. I feel like it might be slightly, maybe a little unbalanced. I don't know. Everyone always says that.
It's one of those things where you always feel like the other class is so strong, and then when you play it, you get trounced.
Yeah.
It happens all the time, right?
Yep. But I've been having a lot of fun. Like, when I play games, there's usually like one kind of casual game that I play. There's one like PvP game, and then there's one like single player game that I usually progress through. And right now this is my PvP game, which is always my favorite. It's always the one I enjoy playing the most.
Yeah, I think, well, I go back and forth. I'll go through huge phases where it's like only PvP, which will usually be one game. And then I'll go through my favorite, like last year, was almost all single player games, and I would play one, beat it, play another, beat it, play another, beat it. And so yeah, I go through my phases, but I'm glad I do that way, because I get all the single player ones that were great a few years ago on sale.
Right? Yeah. There's just too many good games out there. It's hard to choose between all of them. I mean, for a single player game now, I recently beat Duke Nukem, which got a lot of hate when it came out, and I don't think it's as bad as everyone made it out to be. I was a fan of the classics, but I can see some of the flaws. This is my second playthrough. Duke Nukem Forever, I should mention, is the last game I ever pirated, probably like 2 years ago. And I thought I'd replay it. And I still say it's not as bad as people made it out to be.
Oh, bullshit.
Okay.
Hey, so earlier you were talking about your top three. You said Smite's in it. You want to name the other two?
Top three of all time?
All time. Put you on the spot here.
All time, top three. This is tough. World of Warcraft, definitely up there.
Yep.
Now, these aren't games that I can necessarily defend, but I will say these are the games that I have spent the most time in, like that I have found myself very addicted to. So probably number one, World of Warcraft. Number two, Smite. Number three, I might have to go with Left 4 Dead 2 on this one.
Yeah, you played a ton of that game, which, by the way, great game.
Yeah.
Amazing game. So much fun. One thing about that game, wouldn't it have been cool if the bodies piled up and became a something you had to contend with? Like, you might lock yourself into a room.
Bodies.
Yeah. Because they would just disappear after a while.
It became a capture point.
Yeah, but great game, man. I love that game.
Yeah, it's good. And it's still alive and kicking. I had a friend who recently kind of got back into gaming. And we played this summer. We played a bunch of Left 4 Dead 2, and it was awesome.
Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. It's cool.
I'm pretty sure I invited you.
Yeah, I probably said no.
probably not. You didn't have it installed. But, yeah, that's one of those games. You know, like, we were playing TF2 not too long ago.
Yeah, for the first time in, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, if this was a top four of all time, I would probably put that fourth.
Yeah, me too. Because TF2, I've spent a ton of time on. For a game that came out a long time ago, I think it's still like one of the fastest PvP, like adrenaline rush games you can play.
Always fun. Yeah. I want to say the best multiplayer experience available still. Although I haven't played Battlefield 4.
Let's hear your top.
I'm gonna put them in chronological order because I can't. These are like the great loves of my life. First, it was Street Fighter. I was up in the arcades playing that thing like
Street Fighter 1 or 2?
2.
Okay.
And all its subsequent, all of them. I played Turbo, all even the obscure ones like Alpha 2. Me and my buddy would go to the arcade. They had two of them. We'd get on each one and we were good enough that we would take the machines over and we would just, you know, we run that thing. It was so much fun, nice. Man. I was never good at the first ones. My friends were, but, quick little story. How are we doing on time?
We're doing good. I think we're around an hour.
Okay. Do you want to wrap it up and pick this up later or, oh, let me finish my, my list and Street Fighter, and then EverQuest. I think I have 1,000 hours into EverQuest or something. Wow. Crazy. Although I made a lot of money off of that game. I made something like $3,000 off of that game.
Selling characters?
Selling characters, yeah.
Jeez.
Excuse me. And then Smite. And then if it was a top four, I would put TF2. Hell, let's finish it up. Do you have a five?
Fifth one. All right. So after TF2, after Left 4 Dead 2, I've got the most hours in Super Monday Night Combat on Steam, but I wouldn't put that up there.
Nor would I.
Yeah. oh, man. That is a tough
one. Who makes a top three list anyway? It should have been top five from the beginning.
Should have been a top 10.
Damn.
But my heart is really at PvP games. These single player games, I can recognize, wow, that is a great, amazing experience, like BioShock Infinite, amazing yep. game. But I really, 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 truly love PvP experiences.
You're just not going to get the competition. Or
I like that human element.
Yeah. AI doesn't act like people, you know?
And I like, one reason why I love Smite is because you're playing against people and you're playing with people, which is the two best things.
Yep.
Like if you can have, it's fun to play co-op with people. It's fun to play against people. If you can do both at the same time, it's perfect.
You know, people always complain about, oh, this guy fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And he ruined the whole game. But guess what? That's what would happen in real life if you were in a battlefield or something like that. Like, that's part of the thing. Like, you have to be good enough to cover his ass. And that's where the true best players come from. People who can do that make up for the empty spots on their team.
Yeah.
Or if you're missing a player, that's even worse.
Yeah,
sometimes not.
You got to adapt to the situation. You got a bad teammate or no teammate, you got to change your play style.
Yep.
You got to be adaptive.
Yeah. My number five would probably have to be, I'm going to go with the single player just because it was so good. It was not Skyrim. What's the game that came out with Skyrim before? Part 3 of
Oblivion?
No. It's the one in post-apocalyptic.
Oh, Fallout 3.
Fallout 3, thank you. I'm the worst with names. Sorry, guys. Fallout, favorite game ever. Can't think of the name. Fallout 3, amazing story. Did you play it start to finish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did.
I loved every single bit of that game. I played it. I put 100 hours in the first run, maybe 90, and immediately beat the game, started a new tune right after. Like, wanted to start from the beginning. Some people make fun of, like, the you know, your first view of that game is you're coming out of a vagina and you know, you're being born, but you're being born and you ride that character's life all the way up until his death or until he walks into the great beyond or whatever. But
and I believe your dad was Liam Neeson in that game.
Yeah.
Good voice acting there.
Did you say your fifth?
You know what? For my fifth, I'm going to go with, and this is taking it way back, Battlefield Vietnam. Not Battlefield 2 Bad Company, the Vietnam
Bungie
match.
Sticks, man.
Yeah.
Right?
That game had music on the CD, and when you were driving in a car, you could change the radio station to different tracks, and it had all, like, you know, Fortunate Son and, like, all those old tracks from
those songs that period. Are amazing. Vietnam-era rock and roll was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you could just, like, in the helicopter or, like, whatever, and it really set the mood. It's the first time I ever really experienced that in a game, but I played a ton of that game and loved every minute of it. Still a huge fan of the Battlefield games. Like, loving Battlefield 4 right now too, by the way.
All right, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, you got it, man. Got it. Need someone to play with.
Yeah, you want to close this one out or?
Yeah, let's do it. So, if you want to get at us, our email address is digitallogicgaming@gmail.com. That is digitallogic with a K. gaming@gmail.com. Two L's in that. One on the digital, one on the logic.
Not to be confusing or anything.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Explain that.
What was I thinking?
if you want to check us out on, we'll be on iTunes, and we've also got a website where you can get all our podcasts, which is going to be same thing, Digital Logic with two L's. .hostoi.com. Working on an easier web address there, but for now that's it. digitallogic.host.
And if you got this from iTunes, if you could rate, comment, or and subscribe, that would be fantastic.
Yep, all that stuff.
Yep.
Yep. And email us with any questions or comments or anything like that. If we get some, you know, we'll definitely address them.
This podcast is free to play, but if you guys want to buy any upgrades, just let me know. Maybe I could do something.
Any microtransactions. Emilio will do his impressions.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you're going to have to pay for those.
Yeah. If you want a song, that's $5.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Ender.
I'm Robert Digital.
And thanks.